stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we're delighted that you've decided to spend your time with us. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in this episode?
Well, Kyle, it's be in obedience, speak what God instructed us to talk about today, which is a update from last week because we had some recording difficulties, so we get to do it twice.
That's right. Clearly, the enemy does not want this message to get out, so we are intent to put it on the air.
So, Kyle, do you remember what it was that God told you what I was to talk about?
It is to confront the liars and the hypocrites.
That's right. Specifically, as God instructed you, there's a lot of people who confess themselves as servants of God, friends of God, and God says, I don't know these people. You need to go speak against them. They're deceived.
That's right.
So we're going to do that. That's what we're going to do today, Kyle.
All right. Well, with that, I'll open us in prayer. Oh, Father, almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, of all things, we pray, O Lord, that today your word be spoken, that it be a wonderful and pleasing aroma to you, O Lord. We pray, O Lord, that each and every visitor and listener that's out there right now, that they have their mind attenuated to your word, that they open their own Bible up and they follow along. And Father, let your words speak to their heart. Let your truth dispel all the myths that they have been pounded with day after day, year after year. Father, we pray that your truth stands out, that it stands in victory. And we pray this in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. For all those listening, do you say you believe in God? Do you confess God? I don't deny the fact that you believe that you serve God. I'm not going to argue with the fact that you say that you confess God. But would God agree with you? In Titus chapter 1, verse 16, it talks about a people who confesses God.
They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient.
Disqualified
for any good deed.
That's right. Is that you? Do you understand what God is saying here? You see, there's a great deception in the church because many people, they can go and proclaim the belief that they put their faith in. They can't prove it in a Bible, in a book. They can go to a verse, but they can't prove it. Kyle, it's like I was speaking to another man yesterday.
Yep.
And I told them, I said, you can go to John 3:16, you can go to 1 John 1:9, you can go to the Romans Road, Romans 10:9, Ephesians 2:8-9, you can go to all these different passages and talk about God's grace and his mercy and his message of salvation, and Jesus came and died for your sins. But can you go and explain to me what you believe in one of those books? You want to use Ephesians 2:8-9? That's fine. Give me the narrative of the book of Ephesians and prove to me your gospel.
Oh, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him.
Kyle, I've not met a man that has been able to just sit in one book and prove in context of what that book says what they believe. No, they can't. I've not yet found a man that is able to do that. All they can do is go from their verse to verse. They can't sit in an entire book because there's too many passages that would contradict their belief, or they can't find certain aspects because it's traditions and teachings of men.
They profess to know God, but by their deeds, they deny him.
You see, Kyle, the truth of God is according to something, Kyle. What does it say in verse 1?
That's right. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness.
Godliness. Now, Kyle, it's not just, you know, well, yeah, if it's obviously God is God, then any truth is going to be in accordance with godliness. It's not some philosophy thing, Kyle. It's a reality.
The knowledge of truth, which is according to godliness.
Kyle, there's an expectation for people, including the leaders of the church. Kyle, in verse 6, it says, if any man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having children who are faithful, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. This is for appointing elders. They'd be blameless. Again, verse 7, the overseer must be blameless as God's steward. Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he can do what two things?
I'm down in verse 16 because I was going to read that in
It's verse 9, the second half. Two things that the...
So that he will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict.
Because, Kyle, there's a lot of people who do not have sound doctrine, sound teaching, in accordance with godliness. They need to be refuted.
That's right. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him.
Kyle, are there few of these people, or are there many in verse 10?
Oh, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision.
And today, it's especially those of the Christian church.
That's right. And all they say, they profess, they confess, but he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not.
Yeah, that's from Matthew chapter 7. Now, Kyle, when you look at this, there's people in the church today. Just as back then, they're going to speak against sin. Verse 12. What did they say back then?
One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans and are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.
So you have one person. He's pointing out the people's sin. Now, some people may be like, well, you can't be doing that. That's kind of harsh. Don't be doing that. Now, these people who are doing this, they're rebellious. They're empty talkers. They're deceivers. Even though they're confessing God, even though they're speaking against sin, they're rebellious, they're an empty talker, and they're a deceiver in the eyes of God because they do not hold the truth in accordance with godliness. Now, even though they may say something that is true because the people were sinners, does he say it's true in verse 13?
This testimony is true.
So what's the solution?
For this reason, reprove them severely.
Why would we want to reprove people severely, Kyle?
So that they may be sound in the faith.
So that they might be sound in the faith. Kyle, the problem is, just like back then, just as today, there's many empty talkers, rebellious men, deceivers. They'll speak against sin and say that you need to turn to God and receive forgiveness. But Kyle, they pay attention to myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth.
Yep.
Kyle, to somebody who's been changed and who's become pure in the eyes of God, what does God say about them in verse 15?
To the pure, all things are pure.
But Kyle, what about the people who haven't received that new heart or that new conscience? But
to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure.
Nothing is pure.
But both their mind and their conscience are defiled.
Because they haven't received the new spirit and the new heart or the new conscience. Again, these people confess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. They're detestable, disobedient, and disqualified for any good deed.
Filthy rags. Their works are filthy rags.
And you know, as you keep looking, Kyle, and we talk about, so what are the things fitting for sound doctrine? If you haven't picked up on it earlier, it really gets back to your deeds. How do you walk?
That's right.
Do you really have a proof? Are you able to walk blameless? Have you been freed from all those things? Or did you just repent from a standpoint of agreeing with God, but not expecting that, oh no, you have to be changed. God has to do an impossible work so you don't continue to live in a lie and struggle with sin. Speaking things fitting for sound doctrine, Kyle, in chapter 2, verse 1.
But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine.
And is this about what we're to believe in, or is it the results of a belief?
It's results. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance.
What about a woman's behavior?
Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored.
Kyle, if you cannot live a godly life, the doctrine according to godliness. Here it's pointing out a woman.
Yep.
A woman who cannot live godly. You dishonor the word of God. Now that applies for a man too.
That's right.
It's no different. Kyle, young men.
Likewise.
Is God concerned about their behavior?
Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds. With purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us.
You who are listening, can the opponent accuse you of words that come out of your mouth? Can he? Or are you blameless? Well, God commands you that you are to be blameless in your speech. Did you not read the book of James? Or are you deceived again, one of those who confesses to know God, but by your deeds you deny him? You know, Kyle, it's consistent with the book of James. Talks about the hearers who deceive themselves.
Yep.
Versus the doers who are able to abide by the perfect law of liberty. Do you think yourself to be religious, but yet you cannot bridle your own tongue?
That man's religion is worthless.
You deceive your own heart. Your religion is worthless. Go read the book of James. Read verse 26. Read the whole chapter 1. There are many listening today who have a worthless religion. In the eyes of God, you are a hearer. You have not become a doer. Just as God says, the problem with you, in James chapter 1, verse 21, he says, you still need to put aside all filthiness and all wickedness and humility. You're commanded to still receive the word implanted, which can save your soul, because you haven't received it yet. And that's why God commands that in James chapter 1 to a people who thought they had a faith in God, who are also addressed as brethren, because they're in the church. But they were liars. They confessed to know God, but by their deeds they still denied him.
By their deeds they deny him.
You may be thinking, but I do good. Well, sinners and those going to hell can do good. But they have a corrupt, defiled heart that hasn't been purified yet. They still sin. Did you listen to the episode we did on love, the greatest commandment, and what God says it means to love? It's not as the world defines it. You see, that's what most false Christians do who confess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. They say, oh, I know God. I believe in God. I love. I do good. No, no. No, you see, it's the absence of evil, the absence of sin, to love your neighbor as yourself, as we covered in that episode, as God defines in Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 12.
Some will say, oh, but Sam, I'm under grace.
So let's look at the grace. What does the true grace of God do in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12?
But the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men.
It brings it to all men. The problem is, did you receive the true grace of God, which is according to godliness?
Instructing us to deny ungodliness.
Have you denied all ungodliness in your life?
And worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly today.
The truth according to godliness. You see, people, it gets back to your behavior. Otherwise, again, you're going to be the person in verse 16. What do they do again? They confess?
Oh, they profess to know God, but by their deeds, they deny him.
Do you deny him? You see, Jesus gave himself. Not just to die for us, but for a purpose.
To redeem us from every lawless deed. And to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds.
Knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. Can you walk in the good deeds now that God has prepared you for? You see, if you truly came into the grace of God, just like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, oh yes, we know that for by grace we've been saved through faith, it's not of ourselves. Yes, it truly is a gift of God, if you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that new heart and the new spirit, so that you can now be his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before the foundation of the world that you are to be walking in.
Amen.
Not bad works, good works. Not good and bad, good. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad fruit tree cannot bear good fruit. Listen to the words spoken of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Can you walk like he walked?
Can you be holy as your heavenly Father is holy? Kyle, we know that in 1 Peter, it tells us why Jesus died. It tells us whether or not we've been the person that has had the perfect work done in their life. 1 Peter, speaking to all the saints scattered throughout Asia Minor, we find that something happened to those saints. To all those people who are elect of God, according to the foreknowledge of God, by what work in verse 2?
By the sanctifying work of the Spirit.
If you are truly sanctified by the Holy Spirit, it results in what, Kyle?
To obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood.
Question is, did that happen to you? You see, if it did happen to you, then God would have done something in your life. He would have cleansed you from all sin, not just forgiven you, but cleansed you from all sin, so that you can now overcome and have a proof of faith.
Overcome.
You see, in verse 6, why are they rejoicing, Kyle?
In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials.
You see, even though you may be going through trials in your life, the one who rejoices is the one who has a proof of faith.
That's right.
You see, so that the proof of your faith, in verse 7,
being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire.
Even though your faith is tested by fire, a proof of a faith produces...
may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Now, for those who do stand in that, who have received of the gift of the Holy Spirit, well, in verse 14 of chapter 1 says then, okay, as obedient children, no longer conforming to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance. Kyle, is that something that you're to continue in those former desires of the world?
You are not.
No, you see, that's when you were in ignorance. The question is, have you come out of that ignorance, or are you still in ignorance as one who confesses to know God, but God's going to say by your deeds, you still deny him? You see, if you have become an obedient child, no longer conforming to the former desires or lusts which were yours in ignorance, Kyle, how are you to now live in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15?
But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior.
Okay, Kyle, this is the command to who?
To all of us.
To us, and we're commanded to be holy as who?
Holy yourselves in all your behavior as the Holy One who called you.
So as the Father God Almighty is holy, we are commanded to be holy just as he is?
That's right.
Kyle, surely it must be just in a ideology. It cannot be in our actions.
In all your behavior.
In all your behavior. You know,
it reminds me of 1 John 1, Sam. How much darkness is there?
Oh, you mean the gospel message that he says in 1 John 1, 5? This is the message we heard from him and announced to you that God is what?
Holy. God is light.
God is light. And in him there's what?
There is no darkness.
No darkness. You see, he goes on to say, if you say you have fellowship with God, yet you walk in darkness, you lie. You don't practice the truth. But if you walk in the light, verse 7, as God himself is light.
There's the standard.
Then you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses you from all sin. Now, people are going to jump to 1 John 1, 9. They love to do that without understanding the rest, and they completely discount the other aspects. And they don't understand that 1 John chapter 1 is written to those who don't have fellowship with God.
That's right.
But if you aren't understanding that, listen to the episode we did on 1 John chapter 1.
We do the whole book.
And we go through and explain all the things that I assure you, if this is foreign to you, you have never been taught it in church, and you don't even know all the verses in chapter 1, which is why the devil is deceiving you into a false doctrine where you confess to know God, but by your deeds, you still deny him. Now, Kyle, I know I've spoke a lot to one group of people, but I know there are other people listening, Kyle.
Yep.
Who do have a new heart.
That's right.
Who this does not apply to them. And I encourage you, even though all the liars out there who are not free, who do not have power in their life, cannot overcome and walk in obedience to the Spirit of God because it's not in them, and they malign and blaspheme the truth by which you stand in, be encouraged. The Word of God testifies that you walk according to the true knowledge, which is according to godliness. You have, as an obedient child, escaped from those former lusts which were yours in ignorance. And you now do walk in all your behavior holy, as your heavenly Father is holy, with the same fullness of deity that dwelt in our Lord Jesus Christ, being imitators of our Lord.
That's right.
You have made your clothes clean through the blood of the Lamb, and you continue to walk without stain as we are commanded. Praise be to God in all the glory. I encourage you. Continue to let your light shine before men so that they may glorify God as they observe your good behavior. continuing to look at other aspects of 1 Peter, since we're here. Kyle, in 1 Peter chapter 2, are you still to have any malice or deceit or hypocrisy in your life?
Oh. Put aside all malice and all deceit.
All
and
or some?
All.
All.
All hypocrisy and envy and all slander.
You see, that's what's commanded. You see, we're to be a spiritual house. We're to be living stones. Kyle, as a spiritual household before God, what are we to be doing in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 2?
You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Yes, Kyle, that is what we're to be doing.
Acceptable.
But we're to be abstaining from something else. What is we to be abstaining from that's not to be part of our life anymore in verse 11?
Here we go. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against your soul.
For all those who have not yet been cleansed and filled with power, the sin which still dwells within them wages war against their soul every day as they struggle and have to confess their sins repeatedly because they have not escaped from the power of the devil. But Kyle, for those who have, what does their behavior look like in verse 12?
Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Amen. You see, Kyle, it comes back whether or not you have a true confession. Or if you confess God, but by your deeds, you deny Him. Have you truly come into the grace of God that instructs all men to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, but to now live sensibly, righteously, and godly today? Is that the life that you have come into? Going back to Titus, he tells them how they used to live in chapter 3, verse 3. You see, Kyle, they used to be once foolish themselves. In verse 3,
yep.
Disobedient. They once were deceived, once enslaved to various desires and pleasures. Once they spent their life in malice and envy, having hate and hating others.
That was once.
But Kyle, that's before they came into the grace of God.
But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit.
Yep, and it's the actual direct literal translation is by the bath of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. The question is, did that ever happen to you? Or have you just been taught all along, Jesus died for your sins so that He can reconcile you to God, so you can have forgiveness of your sins if you confess and believe in Him? Is that the half-truth lie of the devil that you were taught? Is that why you still confess God, but by your deeds you deny Him? Did you not listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when He spoke about what it means to be free and why He came? Please, do you know why Jesus came? Do you know the result of what's supposed to happen of why He came?
He was supposed to destroy the works of the devil.
Kyle, back to 1 Peter in chapter 2. I asked people, why did Jesus die on the cross? To bury your sins. For what purpose? Verse 24, Kyle. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, why did Jesus bear our sins on his body on the cross?
And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed.
Were you truly healed? Were you truly healed by the power of God?
Amen.
Did you die to sin? Do you even know what that means? Or do you not know? Do you not know what spiritual baptism is? The same question that Paul asked the Roman church. Do you not know what spiritual baptism is? Go listen to the episode that we did on Romans chapter 6. We talk all about it. Go listen to the episode we did, Overcoming Sin, Being Crucified, Spiritually Baptized.
Verse 20.
If you have not been taught these things, if you are not aware and know exactly what God says in his word, not in your thought, I don't care what man has taught you or told you. Man does not dictate God's ways. God does in his word. But there's many of you who have not heard the full truth. That is why you have a belief and a confession that cannot save. Kyle, in the book of John, Jesus addressed people who are following him. Jesus addressed people who believed in him. John chapter 8, Jesus spoke to a certain people who believed in him. What did he say in verse 30 to 32?
And as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine.
Kyle, why didn't he say they were truly disciples of him? They were following him. They believed in him.
If, and verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
You who are listening, are you free? Or do you believe like these people here believed? They were still conditional.
They were not yet
his true disciples.
They thought they were free.
Oh, they thought they were free, but they didn't understand what it meant to be free. So Jesus had to explain what it means to be free. You who are listening, would you say you're free in Christ? Oh, I'm sure you do, just like you confess to know God, but by your deeds you still deny him. Just like these people didn't know what it means to be free. Well, let me tell you what Jesus says it means to be free.
Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin.
Do you still commit sin? Well, then how can you say you're free? Well, because you believe, like these people? Well, we're going to find out later what Jesus had to say about these people. He says that they are of their father, the devil. Oh, but you confess? You confess to know God, but by your deeds you deny him? Who are you listening to? You need to know all the word of God, not part of it. Stop being deceived. I'm going to give you the same rebuke and instruction that Paul gave the Corinthian church. To those who many had a faith that could not save. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 33 to 34. It's an imperative command. Stop being deceived. All of you out there who are confessing to know God but still struggle with sin, stop being deceived. Bad teaching, the word is homileo, homilies, bad teaching corrupts good morals.
Awake to righteousness, because you're still dead. You haven't awoken into light. Awake to righteousness and stop sinning. It's a command, an imperative command. Stop sinning. For some of you have no knowledge of God. Did you hear that? Some of you have no knowledge of God. I don't care if you confess. I don't care if you believe.
By your deeds, you deny him.
I speak this to your shame. That's what Paul said to the Corinthian church. And again, when he had to rebuke him again at the end in 2 Corinthians, because they still struggled with sin and wouldn't repent and come to the truth, being deceived, as he warned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, following after false apostles, deceitful workers who are disguised as apostles of Christ? Well, no wonder. Chapter 11, verse 14 says, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It's no surprising that Satan's servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. You know, Paul had a command for those people in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He commanded them to test yourself. See if you're even of the faith. Examine yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself? That Jesus Christ is in you unless you actually fail the test? So many people in ignorance. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34. What did he say, Kyle?
He said, Jesus answered them, saying, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin.
The slave will not get to remain in the house forever, but the son does. If the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. You who are listening, are you truly free? Are you truly free? Well, maybe now you're understanding why even though you confess God, God is not going to agree with you. Jesus goes on and tells them whose father they are. In verse 44, who does he say these people who believed in him and were following him, who they actually belong to?
You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
So, Kyle, back to 1 Peter. You want to probably sit here and say, oh, but I'm in the grace of God. Did you not understand what the grace of God does? We now live a different life.
That's right.
We did a full episode on the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. You see, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12 concludes in the book of Peter saying, this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. And in verse 19 of chapter 2, so 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, it says, this is grace. Do you know, you want to know what grace is, people? Let me tell you what Peter said or what grace was. This is grace. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Are you able to bear up under those things when suffering unjustly? You see, that's grace. Are you able to overcome and have a proof of faith enduring the trials and temptations? That is grace. It's the proof of the power of God in your life.
Do you pass the test?
There is no honor if with you sin and are beaten, and you endure it with patience. But when you do what is right, and suffer, and patiently endure, this is grace with God.
Do you pass the test?
Some of you are thinking, but my Bible doesn't say grace there. Well, that's because they didn't translate it right. This is the true grace of God that you're to stand firm in. Go find it.
This is what the whole book of 1 Peter is about. You probably haven't been taught that either. Listen to that episode. You see, you've been called for a purpose if you entered into the true grace of God. You've been called for a purpose if you've truly been set free.
Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps.
Whose example is this for?
Christ. It's for us.
It's for us. You want to claim to be a Christian? You want to confess God? You want to say you have a belief and a faith?
Follow in his steps.
Well, let me ask you. Is your life the same purpose as his life? Do you follow in these specific steps that were commanded here? Kyle, what is the example, the purpose, and the steps that we're to be walking in verse 22?
Who committed no sin.
Do you still sin and struggle with sin?
Nor was any deceit found in his mouth.
Do you still have deceit in your mouth?
And while being reviled, he did not revile in return.
Do you still revile?
While suffering, he uttered no threats.
Do you still utter threats?
But kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously.
You see, people, Kyle, all these people, there's so many people who are so blind and ignorant that they think they have peace with God. Just as God said, "Who is so blind as my servant who thinks he has peace with me?"
Profess to know him, but by your deeds you deny him. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That's the purpose.
You see, you cannot say you've been united in the likeness of his death and now living in the likeness of his resurrection. You cannot say that you identify and live with the purpose of Christ unless you've come in the true grace of God, the true knowledge. Again, what is the purpose in chapter 4, verse 1, Kyle?
Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose.
And what is this purpose, Kyle? What are we supposed to be living?
Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Stopped sinning, folks.
The true Christian, the true child of God, the one who has truly suffered in the flesh as with Christ and has been baptized into his death, that person has ceased from sin.
Ceased from sin.
So how do they now live?
So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God.
Now, Kyle, there's going to be some people who are going to have foolish speculations and going to say, "Oh, but Peter sinned." You see, in Galatians chapter 2, Peter sinned. He stopped hanging out with Gentiles.
He was in trouble.
I said, "You're right. He did. He went and got caught up in a sin. He was still preaching Christ. And if you go read, he stood condemned." Just as the book opens, any man who starts to go contrary will be accused of proclaiming or walking a different gospel, and they will be accursed. And as you continue to read, when Paul went and confronted him in chapter 2, he confronted him because he stood condemned. He had to repent. You want to continue to live your life in a condemned state and receive the judgment at the end and be broken off because you got deceived and went astray? People say, "Oh, but Paul says he was chief of all sinners." In the present tense, he says that in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I said, "You're right." But he says earlier, always starting with past tense and then goes into the historical present, which was common in that day of how they spoke. He says, "When I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent aggressor," when he was going around killing the true church. He wasn't still doing that. It's when he was. It's the same thing in Romans chapter 7. It starts with a perfect tense, which is the past, where he establishes in the past, "When I was a slave of sin."
And then he goes into the historical present narrative and talks about what that life looked like. The man who was condemned and wretched, still a slave of sin, could not do the good, but was continued to be a slave of the evil. Oh, but nobody's taught all the truth, Kyle.
No. Nope.
Some of these Bibles are faulty translated. It's sickening.
They profess to know him, but by their deeds they deny him.
Let me just tell you, judgment's coming. Chapter 4, verse 17 of 1 Peter. Judgment is coming. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous are being saved, then what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Are you still struggling? Are you still a sinner? Therefore, those also who are suffering according to the will of God, a godly suffering, as we read about the purpose that we are called for, they shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. But if you can't suffer like Christ did, like we're commanded, which is our purpose, you're in trouble. If you have not yet been set free, you are in trouble. Did you not hear what Jesus taught? What he said about the narrow road and the wide road? Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to flip back. Starting in verse 13. Kyle, how many paths are there?
Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it.
So there's a wide gate and there's a wide path.
Yep.
Kyle, there's few or many on that?
Many are on that path.
Many are on that path. And as we keep reading, we're going to find out that many on this path are those who confess to know God. But Kyle, it's similar to what we read in Titus.
Yep.
By their deeds, they deny him. You see, people, I am speaking to you, you who confess to know God. I'm not talking about the people that deny God outright. I'm talking about the people who confess to know God, who say they have a belief, who say they have faith. But it's by your deeds
you deny
him. Kyle, what about this other path in verse 14?
For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Kyle, it's such a tragedy. Of all the people that confess God, it's only few of that population that's going to find true life. Few who entered through the narrow gate of truth, which is according to godliness. Few who are able to remain on the narrow path that leads to life. There are so many people in ignorance that don't realize there's a gate and a path. The proof is whether or not you can remain on the narrow path. Possessing that proof is testimony that you entered through the narrow gate. But so many in ignorance profess to have gone through that narrow gate. And they try so desperately hard through works of the law and rules to conform themselves to the narrow path, and they just can't. And they have no power and don't realize it's not about trying, Kyle.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with trying. It's the proof and evidence of whether or not you truly entered through the narrow gate and were received of all the power of God and all the fullness of his Spirit that indwelled you.
Do you pass the test?
But Kyle, the problem is you have all these false teachers, all these liars.
Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing.
Oh, they look like a righteous leader. Oh, they confess Christ.
But inwardly are ravenous wolves.
In the eyes of God,
you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit.
Do you still bear bad fruit? Do you confess to know God, but by your deeds you deny him? What's going to happen to the bad tree, Kyle?
Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits.
But Kyle, these people are going to say, I confess Jesus is Lord.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father.
Are you able to do the will of the Spirit of God? The Spirit does not lead a man to sin.
But Kyle, people say, but I don't just confess, I actually serve in the church.
Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?
Kyle, it's the many. It is the many. It's not just the many who say they're Christians. It's the many who are the active in the church. Kyle, right there, you already had a few.
That's right.
And now of those few, it's a many of those. Who, what is he going to say to them?
And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me.
Why does he say he never knew them when these people think that they knew God?
You who practice sin, you who commit sin.
You who still commit sin. You who cannot be freed from sin.
Slave.
You who have not been taught the truth.
Fail the test.
Oh, man. Kyle, it's like what he says in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 3 says, everyone who is having this hope fixed on him, referring to Christ, purifies himself just as he is pure.
Just as he is pure.
That's right. And Kyle, it's about deeds. Everyone who is committing sin commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Why did Jesus appear in verse 5?
You know that he appeared in order to take away sins.
Now, everybody would agree with this next statement.
Because we're supposed to abide in him, though. And in him, there is no sin.
In him, there is no sin. Now, everybody agrees with that.
Well, do you not understand
the next verse? No one who abides in him sins.
Why, Kyle?
No one who sins has seen him or knows him.
You still struggle with sin? Stop lying to yourself. Oh, I'm not denying the fact that you confess God.
But by your deeds,
you deny him.
Little children, make sure no one deceives you.
How are we to be living, Kyle?
The one who practices righteousness.
As who?
As Jesus is righteous, is righteous.
But the one who commits sin is of the devil. Hey, this is back to the committing sin. Do you still commit sin? The one who commits sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this warped purpose. To destroy the works of the devil. How can you say that you have Christ living in you in the power of God and you cannot overcome the sin in your life and you know you do it every day? You struggle with it, you confess your sins, you ask God for help. I'll tell you why you can't overcome. Two things. One, God doesn't listen to the prayer of a sinner. Two, you have no power because you aren't his child.
No one who has been born of God commits sin. Because God's seed abides in him, he cannot sin. Because he has been born of God.
Now again, this doesn't mean that the devil never deceives somebody into committing an act. But when you're aware of it and you're confronted with it and you still can't stop, that's the problem. You have no power. Peter didn't continue on not hanging out with Gentiles. He did not.
He turned. They repent.
And these are men that live godly, holy lives, enduring all types of persecutions and hardships, and endured through it all because they had a proof of faith. They did not struggle with sin like all this false church does today, because you've been deceived. Kyle, let's end with two passages from the book of Revelation. Kyle, if you'll read verse 19, verse 7 and 8. Chapter 19, verse 7 and 8.
Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. Why? For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.
Do you have those righteous deeds of the saints? Do you have the pure, bright, clean linen which you walk in? Or are you still filthy? Kyle, chapter 22, verse 11 and 12.
Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy.
You see, there's one person in the eyes of God is still filthy. They still sin. They still sin. There's the other one who's escaped that. They now practice righteousness as God and the Lord Jesus Christ are righteous. They now keep themselves holy as the Heavenly Father is holy.
Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done.
To render to every man according to his deeds.
Verse 14.
Are you still the one that confesses to know God, but by your deeds you deny him?
Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city.
What are your clothes? What are your deeds? It's the proof and the evidence of who you still are or the new person you have become. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that your word will cut deep into the hearts of men, expose the lies, and give comfort to those who are in the truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.